This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. It's the CDGA Golf Show every single Saturday with you here on ESPN 1000. As the Live Golf World will head on out to Bolingbrook Golf Club on September 13th through 15th for their individual championships. It's going to be a fantastic event. If you've ever been to a Live event before, you know exactly how it's just a different golf experience out there, and it's headed to Bolingbrook Golf Club later on in the fall. And we welcome into the show General Manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, Doug Freese. He joins us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. Doug, congratulations. This is a something that I think kind of blindsided a lot of the golfing community in the greater Chicagoland area, but welcome to the show. And how did all of this really come together to get a big-time golf tournament to your course on kind of short notice, it feels like?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So Live Golf was looking for a Chicagoland golf course after it was determined that Rich Harvest wouldn't be an option for them. Bolingbrook was one of the handful of golf courses that they considered, so they came out and toured the course, given the prestige of the club, the facilities, and our ability to handle large crowds. It was determined that BGC was a perfect fit for what Live Golf was looking for.
Well, and like Tyler mentioned, Doug, that with the such short notice, what were some of the operational things you had to think about to say, yeah, we can do this if we do this or that? And were there any major things that you guys internally had to talk about and say, hey, this is what needs to be done if we want to go forward with it? Were there any of those kinds of operational challenges of sort?
So the 4th of July out here is about, we have about 10 to 15,000 people. So we know and we're adept to be able to handle large crowds on a single day event. So with our clubhouse and knowing how we do all of our events out here, we're able to kind of handle pretty much anything. So from that side of it, it was fairly easy for us to at least envision it. So when we were like really talking about everything with the village, Mayor Alexander Basta and all the other representatives from the village, we were able to kind of put the deal in place, actually.
Doug Freese, General Manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Doug, how is this event going to impact the rest of the golf season for the course itself, for guys like Mike and myself, if we want to go out to Bolingbrook to play around?
So, overall, it shouldn't really affect anything. We do have a little bit of a shutdown the week of the tournament, but overall, it's going to be operations as normal. We are, you know, taking with our agronomy team and taking a look at certain things. But overall, no, we're the public is more than welcome to come out here. We're excited to have everybody. We're excited to showcase our property, and we're ready to go.
So from the Live perspective, when they look at the golf course, I mean, is it literally just a matter of let's grow up the rough to 2, 3, 4 inches and we're going to play it as it is? Or are they taking any precautions, let's say narrowing up a certain fairway or making any changes of, you know, stretching a certain tee box back? Any talk along those lines?
Overall, no. We're going to keep it just about how it is. You know, the rough might change a little bit. Green speeds might change a little bit when it actually comes down to tournament time. But we're working with their agronomy team and our team here just to see exactly what we're going to do moving forward. But as of right now, the course is the length that it's going to be. It should be challenging. You know, the wind out here, the only thing that stops the wind is the Rocky Mountains, and they're a long way away. The different conditions can vary out here. I know on a couple of our holes, I've hit anything from an 8-iron to a 3-wood, given how the wind's playing. So that'll be our biggest defense is the wind.
So, Doug, what has you most excited about Live Golf coming to Bolingbrook Golf Club?
There's a few things. Best players in the world are coming here. The local impact of everything, you know, from our perspective, you know, Live has a great economic impact, and the village being village owned, we are excited about all of that. And there's a bunch of charity components too for our local charities that will be highlighted once we get closer.
So, Doug, with this event being dubbed the Live Individual Championship, how will this event be different from previous regular season events or what we saw at Rich Harvest for the past 2 years? I mean, will the build-out, for example, be the same, comparable, more? I guess what makes this individual championship any different than what LIV does throughout the year at an event?
Well, crowning the individual championship at the conclusion of play is going to probably be the biggest difference. So, you know, a lot of the other events have team components to it. So the actual individual champion will be crowned here, which isn't something that normally happens at all of their events. So kind of the ending of their season for the individuals will be pretty exciting to watch.
Doug Freese, general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So how do you feel like the players are going to perform at a course like this where, like, I think it's cool, like, the general population can come out, play this course over the next couple of months, and then they get to see some of the best players in the world and see how they fare on the same course that they're playing. So how do you think a lot of these top players in the world are going to stack up at Bolingbrook?
So, let's see, in 2021, when the PGA Tour was looking to host venues, they had formed the Form Tour, which was created by the PGA for their non-Canadian PGA Tour members who couldn't travel through COVID. You know, we successfully delivered a championship test to them. We have every bit of confidence that we will do the same thing for the LIV lineup for their championship. So we're excited.
So the people who are getting excited who want to come out to this event, will they be able to park nearby and walk on? Because I know you have a tremendous amount of land, both within your own property and adjacent to. Or will there be a situation where people will park off-site and you'll be shuttling? I'm sure transportation is probably on everybody's to-do list, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're still working on the logistics of all of it with LIV and with the village. So we don't have the exact plan yet, but we are working through a couple of different ideas and different things. So more to come on that one.
Doug Freese, general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, with us here. Doug, how important to LIV was it that Bolingbrook is significantly closer to the Chicago area than, and I know Rich Harvest Farms, they were going to kind of forego this opportunity, but how significant to LIV Golf was it that Bolingbrook is much closer to the city of Chicago than say Sugar Grove?
I believe part of that matters a little. You know, we're easier to get to right off of I-55 and 355. So, you know, we're hoping that with that in mind, that we will get a bigger draw from the city and surrounding areas. Was it a complete thing? You'd have to ask the LIV guys that, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, we're pretty easy to get to from pretty much anywhere in the Chicagoland area.
So, Doug, is this a one-year-only deal, or is this a deal where you see how this goes and then other years may follow? Where does that all stand?
Right now, it's this year. Moving forward, we'll see. There's nothing been discussed as of this point. I want us to put out a great product. I want the Village of Bolingbrook to be showcased, and we'll go from there.
And do you think that the build-out will be comparable to what we saw, like, at Rich Harvest? Because what they did last year with some of the one par three, I mean, they made it like it was a stadium. Is that somewhat in the plans for Bolingbrook?
Yes. You know, all of the LIV build-outs, if you've seen any of the tournaments or even looked at any of their social media, they're phenomenal. The amount of amenities they put out there, the fanfare, the engagement with the fans, we're going to have all of that here. We have the space to do a lot of different things, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
And how will some of that build out maybe impact the golf season that people are wanting to who want to play Bolingbrook over the course of the summer and early portions of the fall? How is that going to impact that at all?
It should be minimal. We have, you know, enough space between our tees and greens and around areas. So while they are building, generally speaking, the stands or, you know, things that they put up are not in the direct line of where you would actually play. So I don't see impact really being that big of a deal.
When do you anticipate them breaking ground, so to speak, to start putting up the temporary structures? I mean, they could be out there as early as what, mid, late July, right?
Yeah, that's about the time frame we're looking at right now. We are working with their team and going over details now. We have a few months, I guess.
Well, you may have a few
months. Yeah, it should take them, we're guessing, a month, month and a half to put everything up.
And now, after you get everything up, I'm sure you're going to need volunteers. If people are interested in wanting to volunteer or even purchase tickets, do you have any information at this point about how somebody could get engaged in that regard?
So for the ticket aspect, tickets go on sale Wednesday, May 8th from live.com. And the volunteer aspect we are working through, they are going to have a micro site set up for volunteers that will be active in the next couple weeks. So livegolf.com will probably be the place to go for all the information for all of that.
Doug, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate the insight and looking forward to seeing the event live and in action out at Bolingbrook Golf Club in September.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate yeah, congratulations, Doug. This is going to be
awesome.
Thank
you very much.
Yep. Doug Freese, General Manager, Bolingbrook Golf Club, joins us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA and more. All that coming up next. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, and this segment has been brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
Brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. We're on with you until 10:40 today as we lead you in to White Sox baseball and White Sox Weekly. So we just got off the phone with Doug Freese, General Manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club. If you missed any of that, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. Because Bolingbrook is going to be hosting the 2024 Individual Live Championship this year. And it kind of came out of nowhere. It kind of struck people by surprise. And I'm really intrigued to see what the Chicago appetite, because I don't know if Sugar Grove is a good barometer for how much and how thirsty the Chicago area is for big time professional golf, just because it is such a trek to get out there. Bolingbrook, much more manageable. And I'm really going to be intrigued to see what the turnout is like at Bolingbrook.
Well, and also because of the location and where it is in the Chicagoland area, it's pretty southwest in the Chicagoland area, close to 55. What I think they're going to gain a big benefit from are the folks that are in Joliet, the folks down in Kankakee, the folks that are south of here, but they're not really considered Central Illinois just yet.
Right.
There are pockets of avid golfers, CDGA members that come from those parts of our geographic region. And I think that they're going to support this event in a big way, because for those folks, this is as close as major tournament professional golf will ever get to you. So I think they're going to reap the benefit from that perspective. But in listening to Doug, it was, you know, interesting to hear his perspective. Yeah, when he says, I don't think that, you know, because they'll be building, you know, not really where and near where the players are because they have that distance. Where he's going to find the rub from the customers is the amount of noise that is going to resonate from when they're...
Well, that's what the cicadas are for, right? Well, yeah, to drown that out.
Yeah, but unfortunately for them, they don't have very many trees out there. So they may not suffer from that. But the build-out to get that equipment out to those areas, there's only one way, and that's called a cart path. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be fighting forklifts and golf carts are going to be going at each other and having to make room. Hey, can you squeeze by? There will be their fair share of headaches once they get into this thing a little bit. But fortunately, and I think why this is going to work and work well, is that Liv has a production company, and it's called Liv 54 Productions. And they will actually come in, and a lot of the pieces and parts, they have two systems. And when I was out at the last two Liv events, I sat down with one of the Liv executives. And basically what they did is they created, it's almost like a traveling circus. And they have a couple of sets of it. And it just leapfrogs in the United States to the next one if they're back to back, so that they have the product here. And then in certain cases, they will ship it over in containers when they go offshore, or in some of those countries, they just have their own infrastructure down there. So basically, I won't say it's going to be plug and play, but once they know where the things are going to go, the actual items and the facilities, the structures, that's already there. They own that. They don't have to figure out, well, how many seats do we need to order, or how many panels of this or that. They already have it. So a lot of the pre-planning that most golf courses and events would be doing for the first year or two, because, you know, a U.S. Open and a PGA Championship, they get awarded anywhere from a few years to 20 years in advance. And yeah, they have plenty of time to do a lot of planning, detailed planning, especially the promotional and the marketing side of it. You know, I feel bad for Doug and the crew. They're going to have to compress this thing in such a way. I was shocked. They announced it the other day, and tickets are on sale on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the reason they can do that is because they already have the infrastructure already built to be able to start taking ticket orders. This isn't something that Doug and his whole team by themselves are going to have to do. So
right,
they do have a production company really working with them and for them. And I think they're going to benefit greatly from that event experience and knowledge.
Are you interested in going to Liv Golf's event at Bolingbrook? 312-332-3776. I haven't been to the first two that have been here in Illinois, but I think I will make it out to this one because of the fact that it's much more conveniently located. There's just bigger players now too. When you look at some of the additions that have been made over the last year or two, whether it's John Rahm coming over, whether it's Terrell Hatton, and like, there are some big time players on this tour, guys who have had major success, guys who, I mean, there's legends of the game as well with a Phil Mickelson still on there. Like, to me, this seems like an event that is going to really bring the Chicago golf fans out. And there's plenty of them here, and there's not a lot of opportunities to see games here match and tournaments here, because you get some of the NV5 and Korn Ferry, like, that's here every single year. But when you look at PGA Tour and stuff like that, you don't see a lot of that stuff in this area.
No, and on top of that, you also get an opportunity to see future Hall of Famers. I mean, there's a lot of these guys that are over on Liv. And I get it. Some people are still not happy. They feel like they turned their back on the PGA Tour, and they have that emotional, you know, disdain for them. And I can appreciate that. But at the same hand, you can't take away all that they achieved prior to Liv and what they did in the game and for the game. And they're going to be, when it's all said and done, acknowledged by the Golf Hall of Fame, as they should. And a guy like Phil Mickelson, Hall of Famer, no doubt. John Rahm, future Hall of Famer. Brooks Koepka, future Hall of Famer. The guy's won five majors and counting.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have an opportunity to see some of the best ever in the game, and they're going to be at Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
So I think that's just incredibly awesome.
So you've played Bolingbrook a few times.
Oh, yes.
Who would you say their game is well-tailored for this course?
Well,
on the Live Tour, yeah.
Well, and to Doug's point, it's whoever can deal with the wind and deal with the wind the best. And I look at a Tyrell Hatton.
I was just going to say Tyrell Hatton.
That would be, to me, the first guy I would ring up as your champion at Bolingbrook. And I would love for the folks at Bolingbrook that are doing this to get a big name. I would love to see Brooks win at Bolingbrook or DJ or somebody like that. And I just think it would be good for the area. I think it would be good in terms of establishing more professional golf coming to Chicago. So I really hope we as Chicago golf lovers really support this thing and show why Chicago deserves a regular PGA Tour stop.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, there, if things do merge and there is collaboration between, like, there's no reason why this area should not be every single year something stops along the way, whether it's getting more of the BMWs, whether it's just something else that gets thrown into this area, whether it's LIV, PGA Tour. This should be an every year stop for professional golf. There's no doubt about it, because of the passion, because this is a, it feels like an untapped market, to be honest. Like, we've seen big time events here in the past, but then they go away for a little bit and you don't, and you get your hiatuses. What was it, a 3-year hiatus since we had seen something? And to be honest, like, the fans didn't even really get to see it the last time it was here with the BMWs back in 2020 because of COVID. So for all of that to sort of be wiped out and it's just not there, and you kind of lose out on the luster of it all every single year. Like, this should be a regular stop, and I think Chicago golf fans have a chance to really make a statement with it when LIV comes here in September.
You're not old enough to remember this, but the Western Open used to be played every year just before or around the 4th of July weekend out at Butler National. And when you think about where Oak Brook and Butler is located in this area, it's easy to get to from the south, from the north, mm-hmm. from the west. And that was such an iconic stop. And it was so unique back in the day. The Evans Scholars were the caddies. The professionals were not allowed to bring their own caddies. Mm-hmm. And then what they would do is they would have a draft. It was one of the coolest days being a Chicago golf fan, was when you knew that the Evans Scholars were having their draft. And if you got that first pick, your name gets pulled first. You know, it was, are you taking Norman? Are you taking Tom Watson? And then there was always a story in the newspaper. Who got Tom Watson? And, you know, it was a caddy from, you know, Glen Oak Country Club or what have you. And then they stopped doing that. But to your point, we should have a really cool tour stop a la what used to be the Western Open. And if I had my wish, and if I were the commissioner, I would love to see LIV either buy the DP World Tour and we go back to having just the World Tour, the DP World Tour in the PGA, or you still keep a LIV Tour, DP and the PGA Tour, and then they all have what we call these World Elite, PGA World Elite events. Mm-hmm. And there's one or two in the United States, and Chicago has one of those two. And in Chicago, we would rotate it into three places and share the wealth so that one course doesn't have to take the burden every year. You get two years off, but then by that point, you're ready to have it back again.
Yeah.
Because I think if we found the perfect three clubs for this and we had one of the greatest, biggest events on the world stage, what airport or airports in the world are any better than ours? And location, 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 Chicago, internationally, it's easy to get to. We should have the very best world event in the game because we have the world's greatest city.
And, I mean, there's plenty of courses to pick from as well. Like if I told you LIV Golf was coming to Chicago for their individual championships, was Bolingbrook Golf Club the place that you would have, like, said, oh, that's where it's going to be? Probably not, right?
Like, no, I mean, it would have made the list, but it wouldn't have cracked the top 10. But it may have been in the top 20, but it wasn't going to be in the top 10 just because our natural knee-jerk reaction is to go to the Stalwarts, the Medinas, the Olympia Fields, the Kemper mm-hmm. Lakes, the Conway Farms, the, you know, the North Shores.
Yeah.
But just by some of those, I mean, could you imagine a rotation? Conway Farms, mm-hmm. Medina 3, and Olympia Fields.
Yeah.
That's your three. And the clubs would all know that, hey, we got 2 years off before we host this magnificent thing again. And I just think Chicago would be the ultimate market for something like that and not have to have one club, you know, harbor the burden. And then we showcase our three, you know, three suburbs, if you will, the West, the North, and the South, in a way that I think would be, you know, would be really a way to showcase just how great we have golf here in Chicago on, it, well, in that case, the private stage. But we're going to be showcasing Bolingbrook, and that, I think, is really awesome.
Yeah, 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. What's your appetite for LIV Golf coming to the Chicagoland area? We'd love to talk to you about that, 312-332-3776. And we will also go around the CDGA when we come back. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on a little bit later with you today till 10:40. As we will lead you into White Sox baseball. Shane Norling has you covered with White Sox Weekly coming up about 5 minutes from now right here on ESPN 1000. You want to join us real quick, 312-332-3776. Talked a lot about LIV Golf, and it's coming to Bolingbrook. We had a conversation with General Manager Doug Fries from Bolingbrook Golf Club as well. He joined us. If you missed any of it, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app and download that ESPN Chicago app so you can take us on the go as well. Mike, what do we have going on around the CDGA this week and beyond?
Well, we've got a few things. First and foremost, a big congratulations goes out to Andy Svoboda and Jeff Kellen. Andy is the golf professional out at Butler National, where he finished in a tie for second at the 2024 PGA Professional Championship in Fields Ranch in Frisco, Texas this past week. So we have two Illinois PGA professionals that will compete at Valhalla.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I mean two. So it's one thing to get one. The last time we had two was 2004, where we had two PGA professionals from Illinois in the field. And that at that time was the legendary Roy Biancalana and the head coach of Illinois, Mike Small.
Wow.
So a big congratulations to Andy and Jeff. I'd love to have one of them on the show next week to see.
Well, remember, too, the PGA Pro made a little bit of noise last year. Yeah, Michael Block. He finished 15th, if I remember correctly.
That's right. And, you know, there was a time that this event was, you know, poo-pooed because, oh, club pros, they can't, you know, they can't hold even a PGA Tour's golf bag. Well, though, that time is now changing because not only are the young guys getting better at the game, but the equipment is also making the club pros very formidable players. So Butler and North Shore are going to have their chest out a little bit proud during PGA Championship Week when their pros are in the field, and rightfully so. So big congrats to those guys. And then also on a more sadder note, if you will, the PGA and the golf world lost a couple of icons this past week, and one nationally is Peter Oosterhaus. And for those who are my age, you'll remember Peter as a great Brit who was a broadcaster on CBS, did about 18 Masters, played in the Ryder Cup a bunch of times, and has one of the winningest, tied for first, is the winningest singles player at a record of 6-2-1, and he most aptly beat Arnold Palmer and Johnny Miller in single matches in his time. But where this particular individual got to know Peter Oosterhaus, he was the director of golf at Riviera out in L.A. And at the time, we were doing the 1995 PGA Championship, and the event happened and was being produced at a very awkward time in Riviera's history because they had a member at the time by the name of O.J. Simpson. And if you can recall what went on in 1994 and 95, it seemed like we couldn't get any news in that community otherwise to sell tickets or otherwise. And the stress and what could be said. But Peter Oosterhaus was the funniest guy and always had such a great wit about him, not only on the air, but he could make some of the most stressful, you know, meetings have one of those lighthearted moments. And I just remember him as one of the nicer guys I've ever come across in the game. So rest in peace. And here locally, for those out in the western suburbs, we lost our own icon in Ed Posh. Ed Posh was the first golf professional at the Village Links. And I think my good friend David Glaude best described him as saintly. And he gave me, as well as thousands and thousands of junior golfers in and around Glen Ellyn, Wheaton, the western suburbs, gave us the opportunity not only to play, because junior golf in my day was not as readily available as it is like it is today, but Ed Posh had that vision for us as juniors and made the Village Links the most special place in the world to go to learn and to be about golf. And once you got that flavor and that fever to play, you didn't want to be anywhere else but there. And Ed was a big reason for it. He took a game that could be very intimidating to many, many people and made it the most enjoyable experience. And he just had a love and affection for people. He had 13 children, and he would give you the shirt off of his back. Ed was such a great man, and his services will be the 13th and the 14th, and they'll have a celebration out at the Village Links Forum, and aptly put. So he meant a lot to me, and I know for a lot of the listeners who know Ed Posh, you know what I'm saying. And unfortunately, he passed away in his sleep very peacefully, and he should. So he's up in heaven giving lessons to all of our friends. So rest in peace, Ed. You were a great friend.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be back with you next week. White Sox Weekly coming up next.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.